Well, good evening. How are you guys doing? Enjoying the summer? Halfway into it? Not the heat. Well, I'm just encouraged that you guys are here and blessed. And welcome to our summer series, Beyond Measure. Today, I'm going to be talking about ability beyond measure. And for those of you on social media, you guys saw the little graphic I put on there. And I thought it was a really cool graphic just because of what I'm going to be talking on is just a really good illustration. So we'll probably put that up soon here that you guys can check that out while I'm speaking. But will you guys turn with me to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, it says this. It says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's an interesting verse because when you read it in context, it doesn't sound like a Super Bowl kind of verse, you know. You see a lot of sports people kind of, tote this verse during Super Bowls or finals in basketball or something. And it's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But really what this is speaking of is saying, you know, through every season, when Christ is my strength, I'm able to withstand and overcome whatever life brings toward me. And it just reminds me a lot of this light tower, you know. Do you feel like that sometimes? Waves come crashing in, storms of life. It was interesting because when I was first assigned this topic, ability beyond measure, I just thought it sounded like extremely heroic, you know, and so I envisioned that my message would be focused on someone like David when he's defeating the giant Goliath, right? Or Gideon. You guys remember that story when he only had 300 men and he goes and conquers this massive army of the Midianites. And so, you know, just some epic once-in-a-lifetime story in which I would share with you and then hope to persuade you to dream big for the Lord and to do great big things for God. And I totally believe in that. I've bought into that. I believe you should be doing that because it's true. God does choose people to take on these epic, against all the odds kind of feats in life. It's all over Scripture, you know, we can look at it. But what was interesting is I began to pray about this subject, ability beyond measure. It was very clear, I mean, just right off the bat, how the Lord wanted me to present it. And it wasn't really that way. Instead, he placed something else on my heart. So I want to get into that, but I want to pray with you first, and then we'll carry on. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just ask as we get into your word, as we get into the truths that are found in your word, Lord God, that our hearts would be open to receive your word with meekness, that we would allow your spirit to continue that work in us, that we would become more and more like Christ Jesus. Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives, and Father, that we would never sell you short in our lives, Lord God, but in all areas, the big things and the little things, Lord, that we would choose to glorify you. Father, we thank you and just pray in Jesus' name. So, yeah, as I begin to pray about this subject, the Lord kind of placed in my heart a different way than that epic type message. Recently, for those of you guys who may know, the Lord put me in a situation with my younger sister. And that situation, it wasn't very epic at all, you know. In fact, I should say it isn't because it's still ongoing. It's a situation where there will most likely never be a heroic type ending. Instead, it's going to be a long, grudging, and yet very realistic situation that we're dealing with. And most likely, we'll be dealing with it for the rest of our lives. You know, And so there's no light at the end of the tunnel except for heaven. I mean, that's just reality. And so in that type of situation, you know, how do I speak upon, you know, ability beyond measure? I mean, there's no miracles that I can say, oh, you know, look at this awesome miracle that God did for me. But no, it's a trial that I will have to endure for the rest of my life. It's a trial she'll have to endure for the rest of her life. And so it began to make me think of all of you, of the church here, you know, the people here. And I think I've been serving now here for 9 years with you guys, and so many stories, so many people that I've had the privilege of partnering with and going through crazy situations in life. Some things where God showed an instant miracle, and other times where it's still ongoing, even to this day, and it will be for the rest of your lives. And so it just got me thinking about that, you know, things where you guys have had to endure with sicknesses, ailments, or situations that they're not really that epic, if you know what I mean. You know, and your struggle, your trial is most likely like very mundane as far as, you know, on the spectacular factor, you know. No one's going to make a movie out of it. No one wants to write a novel about it. It's just a kind of like, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's rough that you're going through that. And for you, it feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel except heaven. There's no miracle coming, you know, no amazing miracle to boast about, just a very real struggle that you'll have to endure for the rest of your life, right? And just as the Bible talks about many heroes, like Paul, like Peter, like King David and the such, right? Have you ever took the time to think about how many more people are not mentioned? Like all these people that endured hardships for Christ right alongside Paul, you know, right alongside Peter, they were there in the thick of it. And we will never hear their names. They're never going to be mentioned. And yet they were there preaching to the same crowds, enduring the same hardships, going through struggles, maybe even worse than Paul and Peter. But we'll never know. We'll never hear about them. They were just doing it for the Lord and with the Lord. They're the unmentioned, just like you and me. The everyday people, the everyday Christians. And yet what's interesting is whether you know, God calls you to be this heroic person in the history of mankind, you know, or whether you're just this everyday Christian that no one will ever really know, but there you are, faithfully serving the Lord. It's pretty interesting because every single one of us is called to the same grace, and every single one of us is called to the same walk of faith in this life. Every one of us is called to the same walk of faith. We are called, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now listen to that calling. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father in heaven. That's a pretty clear calling, but also a pretty heavy calling. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're all called to that. And so, you know, thinking about our lives, maybe due to some bad decisions when you're younger, or quick decisions when you're younger, all of a sudden you find yourself today in a position that you're not too happy with. You know, life didn't turn out the way that you thought it would, and now you feel like you're kind of stuck in the place that you're in, and you don't want to be there, but there you are. You're in that situation, and to that, Jesus would say, the Word of God would say, let your light so shine before men in that situation that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Isn't that pretty interesting? Maybe you have taken on some physical ailment or illness in your later years. Or maybe your spouse or a close relative has been diagnosed with some lifetime illness, and you know, you're there in the thick of it. The Word of God says, Jesus says to us, let your light so shine in that situation before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so whatever situation that we find ourselves in today, and sometimes, you know what, thinking about this, it may not be a situation, it may just be life. And these day-to-day, you know, circumstances and hardships that come, whatever it is though, always know that every single one of us is called to let our lights so shine before men that they may see our good works and what? Glorify our Father in heaven, right? And that's what we're called to. And so some of you, like as I'm saying this, some of you may be thinking, well, thank you for the conviction, Joe. But the big question is how? You know, how do I let my light so shine before men? How do I keep enduring this mundane, grudging trial that I'm in? I mean, am I just supposed to, like, will I ever have peace? Will I ever have joy? Well, how do I do this? How do I let my light so shine? And that brings me to my first point today. And that is, my first point is our inability. Our inability. The first thing that we must realize and acknowledge, church, is that we actually are very unable to do this. At least within our own strength. We can't do this, guys. We cannot let our light so shine in our own strength. Without Christ, the Bible, listen to this, the Bible doesn't just say that we live in darkness. The Bible says that without Christ, that we are darkness. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's pretty deep. That's pretty heavy. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So you weren't just a person in a room that was dark and you were just trying to find a light switch to turn on. No, you were the darkness. You were what was making the room dark. And that, you know, that speaks to my heart. When Scripture speaks of light, guys, it's speaking of God's revelation of what life ought to be, what life is, what true life is, and what life ought to be when life is lived in His presence. Right? So whenever you hear that, you know, that you, like, shine your light, it's saying, it's like reveal life with God. Reveal what it's like to be in the presence of God. Reveal what it's like to be relying upon God for life. Right? That's what we're to be doing. And so it's speaking of a way of living. It's speaking of a quality of living. So it's not just a way of living, it's not just, oh, I have to be a Christian, but it's also a quality of living. What does Jesus say? He says, "I've come so that your joy may be full." So He wants you to have this quality of life as well, not just a way of living, but it's also a quality of living. And then lastly, it's also a source of living. Where do you find your source of life? And so without Christ, we aren't just in a problem, we are the problem. We aren't, you know, just in darkness, we are darkness. We are blind. We have no ability to be light or to shine light. And so we have no ability to glorify God. And so we have this whole world and all these people say, "Oh, I have the answers, read my book, I have the answers." And really, but they're just darkness. Sad to say, it sounds so horrible, but that's the truth. You know, we are darkness, and God is light. Christ is light. And so why is it important to realize and then even acknowledge this truth that we have no ability within ourselves? Well, the reason why it's so important, guys, to realize this and then to acknowledge it in our lives is because it should lead you away from trying to live this life in your own strength whatsoever. And instead, it should lead you to the feet of Jesus. It should cause you to completely trust and rely on Christ Jesus, because the Lord isn't saying you're in darkness. He's saying you are darkness. There's no way to be changed unless light comes in you or to you or transforms you, and that's only by Jesus Christ alone. But that's kind of cool, too. Because God never intended for you to try to become light on your own. Doesn't that just relieve you? God never intended for you to become light on your own. He made a way for Christ, who is light, to impart his light in you and through you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It's pretty awesome. Again, just to clarify, when Scripture speaks of light, it's speaking of God revealing or God's revelation of what life is, what true life is, what life ought to be when life is lived in Him, when life is lived in His presence. So that's what we're doing when it says, let your light so shine. You're revealing to the world what life is like in Christ. So they say, hey, you have an angry boss and I have an angry boss, but why are you acting different? Oh, well, it's because of Christ. You get what I'm saying? We're in the same circumstances as the world. We're not going to be in different circumstances. God wants the world to see how we react in the same tough, hard, day-to-day, mundane situations. Sometimes even more. Because why? Because in Christ, we will be able to bear it. So that's pretty interesting, right? So when Scripture calls us to let our light so shine before men, it's telling us that in every circumstance and in every situation that we're being given an opportunity to reveal how life ought to be enjoyed when living in God's presence and according to God's word. We're getting an opportunity. That's what you have before you every day. You have an opportunity to reveal what life is like in Christ Jesus. An opportunity to show that Jesus is true life, that He is our source for abundant life, that even through pain and even through suffering, there is a peace and a joy that resides in our hearts because of Christ and Christ alone. No other reason. That life wasn't meant to be lived in our own strength or in our own authority, but it was meant to be lived in Christ Jesus. And so when we come to terms with our inability, it will lead us to humble ourselves, so much so that we will make time to come before Jesus Christ on a daily basis, you know. And that's how you can judge if you've bought into this or not. If you're not spending time with Jesus on a daily basis, then it pretty much shows that you haven't really bought into this truth that you have no ability. You still think that you have ability to do it on your own. And I feel bad for you. I feel bad for me when I do that, because what does it do? It leads us into a trap. We were never intended for that. We are darkness. Without Christ, we are darkness. It's only Christ who gives us light. But when we come to terms, we do humble ourselves. We make time to come before Jesus on a daily basis. We pray about things, not as the last resort, but as the first resort. We pray about everything, man. We're just constantly praying because we have a God who listens. Why not, right? We read God's word, not just for intellect's sake, but so that we can feed our souls and have our minds renewed and shaped after the pattern of God's heart. And by doing this, guys, we find life, or we find light in Christ Jesus, and we will begin to learn how to let our light so shine before men that they may see how we live in these crazy circumstances and situations. They'll see how we live, and they'll glorify our Father in heaven. And so if you're wondering, you know, what is God's purpose for this struggle that I must endure? Why is God allowing this thing to happen to me? Why is this happening? Well, all I can say, guys, is that I'm still learning not really to ask that. You know, why is God doing this to me? Which is really not, if you think about it, it's really not an asking, is it? Right? It's more of like a complaint. Like, God, why are you doing this to me? You're not, when my kid says that to me, I'm not looking at it as like, oh, you want an answer? Okay, well, you know, no, it's like, oh, okay, you're complaining, aren't you? You know, Dad, why are you doing this? You know, right? It's not really we're asking the Lord, we're complaining to God. We're actually, you know, if you think about it, what I'm doing when I ask that is I'm doubting God's goodness. I'm doubting his wisdom. I'm saying, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure this is the right thing? Verse in Romans, it says, who can give counsel? Who can counsel the Lord? But how many times do we try? Sit there and say, well, Lord, it would have been so much better if you just would have done this. You know, it would have been so much easier. And but we know that his ways, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He gives that illustration that the heavens are higher than the earth, and his ways are higher than ours. It's that connection, that comparison, right? And so imagine in your mind's eye the highest mountain on this earth, right? And so you see that mountain, and it's just protruding up into the sky, just as high as it can go, and it looks massive when you're looking at the mountain, but then when you begin to look at the heavens above it, I mean, how far or how low or how shallow is that mountain compared to the heavens? Oh man, it doesn't even get close to reaching. It doesn't even get close to reaching. And that's us. Guys, that's our wisdom compared to God's wisdom. It's always good to know that. You know, I'd love, if you ever are doubting a situation, just go look at a mountain and go, you know what, that's me and that's God, and I got to remember that. You know, remember the things that we do know because of the Word of God and because of experience with God. We know that he is altogether good. We know that he is wise. And we know that he's faithful to see us through. We can trust in those things. And so when you don't know what's happening, just trust in the things that you do know. That God is good, that he is wise, and that he is faithful. And so instead of asking why, I'm actually learning how to ask how. Instead of asking why, Lord, I'm saying how. In this situation, in this struggle, in this mundane, irritating circumstance that's happening to me, how can I let my light so shine before men that they will glorify you, Father? How? You just kind of skip that whole thing of wondering and trying to figure out what God's doing. It's like, his ways are so higher than yours. You can sit there and try to figure it out, but you're not, you know. You might find an answer and you're going to be thinking, oh, that answer is not that good. Well, yeah, it's probably not the answer. It's probably way more to it than you ever could imagine. So let's not ask why so much, and let's just ask how. Lord, how can I be a light in this situation? How can I show the world what life is like in you in this situation? And only in Christ do I find the ability to do that. You can't do it in your own strength, right? But in Christ, we find the ability, and we can say, as Paul does in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, how does Christ strengthen us? How does he give us that ability beyond measure? There's so many things, and I just want to list a few here. First, the first thing I want to mention is that Jesus has brought me into right standing with God. I now have a relationship with my Father in heaven. He's brought me into right standing with God. I can call on the Lord anytime, and he loves me. There is nothing that will separate me from his love. He loves me. He doesn't just love me because he has to or because he loves the world. He likes us. That's what we've learned in Scripture. He likes us. He loves us because we're his. And he will always be with me. And he will hear me when I cry out to him. He hears me. Secondly, I know because of Christ, I know my ultimate destination. And that's huge. That's so important to remember. If you have one of those lifetime endearing struggles, then you know what I'm talking about. Because you probably see heaven on the horizon a lot clearer than those who might have a really good life and they're kind of enjoying their life right now and they're like, yeah, this is great, you know. And you hear teenagers always say, well, I don't want the Lord to come back until I get my driver's license. You know, I just want to see what it's like to drive. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, you don't even know what we're going to get, man. Heaven's going to be amazing. But for those of us who have that hard life, that rough life, we're struggling, we look and we go, man, heaven, we know where we're going. We know where we're going. Isn't it good to know that even if life hands you the worst life ever, that it can't take away heaven from you? It's going to be short. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be short. And then it's going to be over. And then we're going to live in the city of God forever. We're going to be there in His presence. We're going to be glorified. We're going to be perfected. And we're going to be in His presence. No illnesses, no death, no misery, no suffering, no sin. I say to the younger people, no bullying. No bullies in there. It's pretty awesome. Everyone's loving on each other, serving each other in the presence of God forever. That is our ultimate destination. And knowing our ultimate destination, it frees us from our present circumstances. It helps us to see above the waves of the storm. We know where we're going, and so we can say, you know what, I can last a little longer because I know where I'm going. It lets us know that this is merely a moment for us, an opportunity for us to let our light shine and glorify our Father. Thirdly, I only have two more. So thirdly, through Christ, I have taken on a new nature. So I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to God, right? So that's another thing that Christ has given me, this ability beyond measure, is that I have a new nature now. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live this life after the pattern of God's heart. I have the freedom. This is awesome, right? We have the freedom to reject the darkness of this world and to embrace the light of Christ. And so when we're in that traffic jam and someone cuts us off, we don't have to return evil for evil. We can actually say, oh, well, he must be in a hurry. Father, pray for him. Just keep him safe and everyone else around him. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that we have the choice to be free from reacting like that. We can actually choose Christ. We can choose the goodness in the Holy Spirit. And if you're stuck in a bad relationship, maybe it's a work relationship or a neighbor, you know, you don't have to act out in sin, but we can overcome their evil with the goodness of God. We get to choose that. We have that. It's an awesome thing. Fourthly, all these truths combined, everything I just talked about right now, when I trust in them, when we trust in these truths, guys, when we acknowledge and accept them, that's what I mean by trust. We acknowledge them, we're thinking about them, and we accept them. We believe, we trust, we have faith in what the Word of God is telling us. Then we receive the peace of God that passes our understanding. We receive the joy of God, and no matter the situation, because we know that our God is in control. We know the ultimate outcome, that we are going to heaven and it's going to be glorious. And so we can live in peace and we can live in joy. Sometimes it's a struggle, but as we hold on to those truths, it will keep us there. It will keep us having our confidence in the Lord, having our peace and our joy found in the Lord. Not a false peace like the world, you know, where they just kind of trick themselves into not thinking about the coming judgment that's soon to come on them. But for us, we have no judgment. We've been forgiven. We've been cleansed. We have no fire. We have no hell to fear. We have nothing to fear because we belong to the Lord. And so, whatever life has gunning for us, whatever life may throw our way, we can say that I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to ask Dave to come up, and he's going to lead us in one more song as we close. I want to say this. I remember watching a Christian movie called Facing the Giants. And I hope I don't ruin the movie for you. If you like it, great. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But I couldn't help but notice how the ending was just so good. I mean, it was like too good, right? I mean, everything that the main character lost, he gained it all back like in a year. It was like, boom, it's all back. Even better. He had a bad truck, it broke, then he had a good truck. And I'm like, man, I wish it worked like that. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be? It's like, if I just pray and go to church and obey the Lord, my life is going to be good. And yet, that's not what's promised to us. It may happen for some of us, and praise the Lord when it does. That's awesome. But for most of us, we know that life doesn't happen that way. But let me tell you this, guys, and I hope this encourages you. It encouraged me. It's one thing for the world to see you being loyal to God when everything in your life is going good. That's one thing. But it's a whole other thing to see a life that's in turmoil and struggling, and yet through pain and through that struggle, the world looks and there you are, worshiping your God, finding this peace and this joy that goes beyond circumstances, that goes beyond what the world knows. They can't understand it, but you do. Because you find your trust in the Lord. You find your strength in Christ. You're His beloved. You belong to Him. You know your ultimate destination, and that gives you joy. It gives you peace. And so you've made your stand, and you've rooted yourself in Christ Jesus. He is your strength, and you don't rely on yourself, and you don't rely on self-help books or gurus. No, you rely on Christ Jesus for your strength. You come to Him every day. You read God's Word as if it was bread for your soul. You pray to the Lord, and you just trust in Him. And though your story may never be turned into a movie or a novel, you will be one who can truly say, I can do all things. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? Then let's let our light shine. Let's look at everything that comes our way as an opportunity to let our light so shine before men that our God is glorified in our lives. Amen? I was going to show a video, but I'm not going to do that. You want to close this out? Let me pray and we'll worship the Lord. Father, I come before You, Lord God. We come before You. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place, Lord God, that we wouldn't forget what You've shared with us, that what You've spoken to us, Lord God, that we would see our trials and our circumstances as opportunities to let Your light so shine through us that men would see it and then glorify You. That Your grace, Lord, the glory of Your grace would be praised in our lives. Father, we thank You and we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.